I've always loved this word. Great word. Kind of a crummy concept. Gerrymandering. Dr. Richard Buckaloo of UMD is joining us in the studios this morning. And of all the different professors I might have expected to come in and talk about gerrymandering, I suppose I would have picked political science or something like that. But you are a mathematician. And you're a mathematician with cheerful insight. So I think that I'd like you to be my new best friend.
Thanks, Lisa.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for joining us. So first of all, explain gerrymandering. What is it? Again, it's a great word. It's a crummy concept. Can you explain it for folks?
Sure, yeah. So not only is it a great word, the word itself has a little history. It's named after Elbridge Gerry, the first governor of Massachusetts. In general, the idea of gerrymandering, which is what we call it now because that's how English works, is you want to marginalize. Well, you don't want to. People's votes get marginalized in the sense that some people's votes end up being worth more or have more effect on the final outcome of a vote than others. And it can be done intentionally and unintentionally.
So, for example, if you wanted to draw some kind of a district and you wanted to get the biggest concentration of KUMD listeners, for example, you would do your research, you would find out where they lived, and then you would draw basically kind of this squiggly line that just encompassed all the KUMD members.
Right, yeah. So gerrymandering is the process of drawing legislative districts in such a way that often you're splitting up dense populations of like-minded voters, and sometimes you're actually packing them into one district. So there's basically two main mechanisms of gerrymandering called packing and cracking. So one of the things that I work on is trying to come up with ways to measure packing and cracking or just gerrymandering in general using mathematical techniques.
So taking one step back, and this is a kind of a convoluted sentence, and I just need to make sure I understand what it says. In 2016, the city of Duluth voted to strike down a change from our current voting method to a method known as ranked choice voting. In other words, Duluth said, yes, we're going to do ranked choice voting, and then they said, no, we're not?
Well, I'm actually a transplant to Duluth, so
okay.
That was slightly before I got here.
Okay.
But I will say that UMD, the University of Minnesota Duluth here, was involved in that conversation, and the math department actually was involved in that conversation. So ranked choice voting has some issues that can be sort of understood and explained using mathematics. And one of the reasons I wanted to get involved in gerrymandering is because of that tradition here at UMD and being involved in community engagement and policy, specifically around issues of representation.
Well, what a wonderful thing to have a skill like this that you can use in service of the larger community. Now, your research, part of your skill set is using your research and using mathematical approaches to help solve this problem, which obviously has been going on for centuries. We just have better and better tools as time goes on. And to take a look at these different maps so that gerrymandering, referred to in this news release as a map monster, can help to be identified. Can you talk about this a little bit without scooping your entire presentation that is coming up a little bit later this week? Can you talk about some ways that you could identify the gerrymandering when it's going on?
Sure. I'd like to give a little context first, if I can. So the way that you fight gerrymandering is in the courts, right? It's a legal and political process, first and foremost. The listeners are probably familiar with Gill v. Whitford, the case that was heard in the Supreme Court recently. So that was about the districts in Wisconsin. So we're expecting to hear back on that case next month, actually. So that's coming up soon. And that case centered around a measure of gerrymandering a measure of gerrymandering.
Okay.
But the main question there that the Supreme Court justices were wrestling with is, do we have an objective way to measure gerrymandering? You know, they want to avoid at all costs, not just looking partisan, but looking subjective at all, right? They want to apply objective measures of law. And for gerrymandering, actually, there aren't a lot of objective measures. So that's really where mathematics comes in. If you want to measure something, we actually have whole branches of mathematics that are good at measuring things.
And, of course, the numbers don't lie.
Right.
And I know this about mathematics, because no matter how hard you plead with them to just work out this once, it, you know, mathematics does not work that way. So one of the things that I said to you when you first came in is that I have this sense that there are forces afoot that have so much power that they can redraw legislative districts to favor themselves, that they can convince people that election fraud exists where none exists, and that these forces have enough power and money that they're utterly indifferent to what people might think. And I said, do you have a different perspective? And you looked a little shocked and you smiled and you said, yeah. Okay, good. Tell me.
Well, it helps to be working actively in the field, of course.
Right.
But I think I can give two examples of reasons why I'm optimistic here. So one is actually the reason or the method by which I even got into this field in the first place. Moon Duchin at Tufts University has put together a group called the Metric Geometry and Gerrymandering Group, the MGGG. And they've been putting on workshops all around the country, educating people and increasing awareness, which is one reason that I'm optimistic, because this is just a topic that people are really only starting to be really passionate about, sort of in the general zeitgeist. But they're training people all over. They're training people to be witnesses in courts. They're training mathematicians in sort of the legal aspects of things. So just the level of activity right now around this topic is really encouraging. But also, you know, something you said in your lead up there is that the people drawing the districts are the ones who benefit from the drawing of those districts. And that's definitely the sort of the source of the problem. But there's hope on that count, too. Like, for instance, in Ohio, just this month or last month, they passed a ballot initiative that moved the drawing of legislative districts to a bipartisan commission. So, you know, there are things that we can do and that people are doing right now that are already making a real positive impact. Not to mention, of course, all the court cases that have been, you know, well-funded and well-argued and that are often coming up well in favor of good democracy.
I think do you have a sense that people are perhaps a little less likely to be despairing, as I guess I sounded, and to say, boy, I don't like this. I'm not going to stand for it. I'm done with this. And people are maybe becoming less likely to say, oh, business as usual, or that's the way it works, or blah, blah, blah. And they're saying, no, I want to do something different.
Sure. Well, it all starts with education, right? So as a professor, I see that as my primary role when I'm engaging with the community, you know. And so that's why on Thursday at Café Scientifique, which is a great program, I've been to several different months and learned a ton. I don't want to get too much of a tangent, but I learned, for instance, that birds navigate by stars. So hopefully I can have similar revelations for people.
Well, and of course, you'll get started with Laura Erickson's For the Birds here on KUMD, and then you're going to learn all that.
There we go.
Then you'll show up to the next Café Scientifique and you know, be a show-off. That'll be good. The Café Scientifique are really cool. It's a Twin Ports volunteer-run community organization. They have these free monthly science discussions with the opportunity for people to actually sit down and ask questions. Mm-hmm. And folks will have the opportunity. You'll do a presentation, and then there will be the opportunity for people to ask questions and just sit and talk. And what better place than Beaner's Central on Thursday? And it gets started at what time again?
I believe it's 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Yep.
Yeah.
And it's open to everybody. It's free of charge. And be there or be square. We'll get some information up on our website so it'll be easy for folks to find. And Richard, thanks so much for coming in.
Hey, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
Great to meet you. Dr. Richard Buckaloo joined us this morning as our guest here on KUMD.